Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Greg Rothwell, Chief Procurement Officer of the Department of Homeland Security. And joining us in our conversation is Todd Wiseman. Well, Greg, another top priority for O5 that also falls within the One DHS theme is One Face to Industry for DHS acquisitions. Could you tell us about One Face to Industry and what it means and how it will be established?
Right, Paul. Thank you. Well, basically, if you recall what I just said, we're trying to take the 8 procurement offices and have them behave as one. But once they behave as one, the idea with One Face to Industry is to project that behavior externally. So it's kind of a two-part thing. Part one is the 8 behave as one. Part two is to project that behavior to the private sector. So from a private sector perspective, they see One DHS, regardless of whether they're dealing with TSA or Coast Guard or Secret Service. So that's really what the program is. And it has a lot to do with our web presence. It has a lot to do with, and I hate to use the word marketing, but it basically has to do with how we project ourselves externally so that the private sector knows how to do business with us.
Why is that so important to have One Face to Industry? I mean, at some sort of level, we say, gee, well, that's life. Deal with us.
Well, we don't view it that way. We, getting back to what I said early on in this discussion, I feel like my role is to make that process of dealing with the private sector as simple and as understandable as I possibly can. And the reason is very self-serving. We need the private sector in order for Homeland Security to achieve its mission. The only way our mission can be achieved is if we can deal with the private sector. And the only way we can deal with the private sector is through the federal acquisition process, and I sort of own that. So I need it to be very, very simple. I need the private sector to realize that when they are doing business with us, they will be communicated with, treated well, and ideally, at some point, we'll be able to say that of all the government agencies that a company deals with, Homeland Security is the most fair, understandable. So that is the goal. So it's extremely important that we do that. And part of the One Face objective is to achieve that. So if I could just maybe give a long answer, when I first got to Homeland Security, I heard from so many companies that they didn't know how to do business with us. And that just pained me because we have got to make sure that people do know how to do business with us because, frankly, we need those products and services that they provide.
And speaking of doing business with DHS, another new creation within the department is called Open for Business, mm-hmm. which is an online portal giving citizens business information about working with DHS. Can you give us more information about Open for Business?
Sure. Open for Business is very much part of the One Face. Open for Business is really nothing more than the ability of hopefully everyone to go onto our website, www.dhs.gov, click on Open for Business, and you will find all sorts of information that companies, large, small, and medium-sized, need to do business with us. There's also I think we've actually loaded about 1,100 procurements that we are proposing to do this year. They can be sorted by commodity or by component within Homeland Security. So it really is our web presence, the Open for Business.
How does it play into the One DHS theme in your mind, Greg?
Well, it provides that one portal for any company to come in one place into DHS. So I think it's very much a part of it.
Along the same lines, I understand that another goal of DHS is to ensure that world-class grant management programs exist, which help support One DHS. Could you tell our listeners about the types of grants that are available and how these are awarded?
Right, Paul. Thank you. Well, DHS provides all sorts of grants. There are preparedness, response, recovery grants that will address terrorist and natural disasters. There's also research and development grants. Most of the grant programs are awarded to states who in turn award sub-grants to local governments. The website that Todd mentioned, DHS Open for Business, provides information on the department's grant program. It includes grants offered by the Department of Homeland Security as well as other federal departments and agencies that provide financial assistance for Homeland Security.
A lot of what you've talked about and other stuff is streamlining and centralizing and unifying. Do you plan to do the same thing for grants?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there is a federal government-wide initiative called eGrant that we're very actively a participant of. Within Homeland Security, there are two major components that issue grants, FEMA and the Office of State and Local Government. We are working with those two organizations to basically make sure that we have a unified, not only automated system, but also processes and procedures.
Could you just take our listeners through? We've talked earlier in our first couple segments about acquisitions and the process, and now we're talking about grants. Sort of how people think about which way to go when they do that?
I'll try to. They're very distinct. Acquisition is procuring goods and services from a non-federal source. So when you're involved in an acquisition, you're basically leading to a contract, and that is basically to buy something and give value in return. So we would buy a product and we would pay. The grant is financial assistance. The grants are where typically Congress has authorized a grant program. They have provided dollars to an agency, and the responsibility of that agency is to transfer those dollars to the grantee, in many cases the state, and to make sure then to basically apply oversight to make sure that those dollars are actually spent for what they're supposed to. So, for example, within Homeland Security, dollars will come into Homeland Security. They will be given to a state government, and the expectation is that state government will use it for recovery in response to either a natural disaster or a terrorist attack.
We know, Greg, from having watched a lot of your career, that you're very performance and results oriented. So let's go back into those two things. But how do you go about linking results to an acquisition?
Well, we call that within government performance-based contracting, and really it gets back to something that we talked about earlier, that we're really more interested in results than the process. So what we are trying to do when we award these contracts is to make sure that we achieve the results, and that when we do achieve the results, the company shares in the reward of that.
And since many of the results are long-term in nature, perhaps, how do you manage the time frame under which that's measured and watched over?
Well, that is challenging and we have to do that just sort of on a contract-by-contract basis. But it is challenging because what you don't want to do is end up paying over time and then getting to the end of the period and not really having anything in return for all those payments. So it becomes a challenge. There's different incentive type contracts that we can use to track that, but that does become one of the challenges. The longer the contract takes, the more difficult that is.
And how about just the general level of uncomfort in these types of contracts? I guess I would contrast thinking about your career early on. You know, buy widgets, you knew what a widget was, you could look at it, kick it, you had a widget. Now, of course, you're buying these complex things, you're paying on results that could take a long time. It seems like a very different world.
It is. It is simply different. I mean, it's one of the reasons it's more challenging, and it's one of the reasons it's more interesting. It just simply is a different world. It really is why there is such a strong emphasis on partnering with the private sector. I mean, I think in the old days we would think of a relationship with the private sector as a relationship between the government and a vendor. Now we do think of it in terms of, you know, the government and a partner, and so there's a lot more emphasis on the partnership. I've seen one of the other things that I've seen that relates to your question, Paul, is that companies, I think, really do step up to that partnership role, and we are seeing many, many more chief executive officers of companies getting actively involved in specific contracts as they, you know, they like to put their own skin in the game to make sure that these contracts are successful. So a lot of things have changed as these contracts have become more complex and take longer.
And in terms of the procurement officials who deal with this, it sounds like from the way you describe, experience is really the best teacher to sort of have gone through these and understand what the nuances of, or can you really train, you know, novice to really understand the complexities of these?
Well, since I'm old, I'll say it's experience. So
that's a good ending point. What does the future hold for procurement at DHS? We'll ask Greg Rothwell for his perspective when the Business of Government Hour continues.